This is Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
Union busting is disgusting.
Later on, Jimmy Hedge, executive board member and delegate of the Amalgamated Transportation Union, Local 1181.
Now,
we're joined by ATU Local 1181 attorney Richard Gilberg, who is representing the 9,000 workers in ATU Local 1181. That's the Amalgamated Transit Workers Union. The Amalgamated Transit Union Local 1181, representing school bus drivers, matrons, and mechanics, was forced onto the picket lines to save its very existence due to Mayor Bloomberg's insistence on removing employee protection provisions from contract language affecting the 9,000 workers. This change would impact current and future union members, allow companies to low-bid contractors due to cheap labor, and would put 150,000 children's lives in the hands of inexperienced drivers to navigate the hectic streets of New York City. This is a lose-lose situation for union members and our families. We're joined by ATU Local 1181 attorney Richard Gilberg, and it is pretty incredible that they have been forced onto the picket lines this morning. Attorney Gilberg, why now, and what's the significance of the city for the first time in over 30 years putting 1,000 bus routes out to bid? Why are they doing it at this point?
Well, you have to ask the mayor that. It's sort of odd that of the 7,700 routes in the city, about a third of which are up for bid this year, that of the third that he would choose to put up for bid, he would pick half of those one-third, so in other words, one-sixth of the whole system, and just target the kids with special needs, who are the ones who are most in need of the steady, skilled, experienced, caring drivers and matrons, which is what the employee protection provisions, the EPPs, which is at the heart of this dispute, provide. And just a footnote to that, these contracts don't go into effect till June when the school year is over, so they really are not operative till September, which is, as most of your viewers will note, hopefully positively, that that's in the last few months of this mayor's term. So why he would do this now for one-sixth of the industry, not to be effective till the last few months of his mayoralty, and it affects only the special needs kids at this time, is puzzling.
Explain the employee protection provisions, what they do for workers, how critical they are.
Well, these have been in the contracts between the city and the bus companies. You know, I have to let your viewers know that we're, you know, private sector workers, so there's been some confusion about the right to strike. These workers aren't covered by the Taylor Law. They're employed by bus companies that have contracts with the city. Those contracts with the city have had, you know, what we refer to as the EPPs in one version or another starting in 1965. So it's not as if this is a new thing. This is almost 50 years of a track record of safety and experience. And what the EPPs basically provide is a master seniority list for workers in the school bus industry, whether they're in this union, another union, or no union. So if you were a non-union worker with 10 years seniority in the industry and you make, unfortunately, you know, non-union wages, and I'm in the industry half as long, but I make twice as much because I'm fortunate enough to be in a union, you get the next job opening in the industry. The thought behind it was that, like construction, like entertainment, other industries where companies come and go, which is certainly true in school bus, because of the need, the particular need of this industry to provide for safe transportation for children, including those with special needs, you know, those with greater wisdom than the current administration realized that you needed to have a skilled, experienced, safe workforce, not, you know, people at the bottom, not a low-wage, high-turnover, low-skilled, highly unsafe workforce. It's not like you want to have McDonald's or Walmart people where you're driving a transient workforce with a lot of turnover taking care of your kids. So people decided that while companies come and go, we wanted to maintain the safe, experienced, skilled drivers in the industry. So a master seniority list was created. So when companies go out of business, those workers go on a master seniority list, whether they're in a union or not. And when there's an opening, it goes to the person with that seniority, and that person comes with the wages and benefits that he or she had at the previous job, be they high wages and benefits or low wages and benefits. So those provisions started in one form or another in 1965, and in 1979, the city attempted to take these EPPs out of the bids, which led to a 14-week strike, at the end of which, under the wisdom and guidance of Judge Mollin, who is still with us, the EPPs in a sort of updated form were put back into the contracts. They've been in ever since, and there's been labor peace ever since, until this latest attempt by Mayor Bloomberg to take them out. And by the way, I should just add that, you know, Mayor Bloomberg makes it seem as if, you know, the union is opposed to competitive bidding, which we're not. The union has repeatedly said if the city thinks it can get a better deal and make some savings by bidding these contracts out, we're all in favor of that. If they think that they can get the employers and the companies to make less profits or there's other ways to save money, happy to support a bid. We just think that those bids ought to include these seniority provisions, and whatever cost savings he achieves should not be taken off the backs of people who in the union, which is the highest paying wages in the industry, matrons start at $11 an hour and drivers start at just over $14 an hour. So we don't think that those savings should be achieved on the backs of hardworking people who take care of our kids.
Now, the city argues that the New York State Court of Appeals ruled that including the employee protection provisions, the EPPs, in bids is illegal. But I remember that the Court of Appeals case that was being referred to loosely actually had nothing to do with this. It was really referring to pre-K busing, which never had employee protection provisions. So could you just parse that out, since we're going to be hearing a lot that this is illegal?
There's 3 points to be made about that. First, in 2006, the pre-K industry, which had never been under the aegis of the Department of Education, was then put under the DOE. And as you correctly point out, there's never been EPPs in that industry. And there's also very low union density in that industry. So likelihood of a long, costly strike is also lower, and you'll see why that's important in a minute. And so when the DOE took this over, they properly put out bids based on their long experience with the EPPs in the general and special ed industries and said, well, look, we're just taking pre-K, which is a very small addition to a very large system, and let's just do what we've done. You know, it's been secure, safe transportation for the kids. So they put out bids with the EPPs. A number of pre-K employers sued, not primarily over the EPPs, over a lot of specifications in the bids that they were unhappy with. The EPPs were sort of a throw-in and a side issue. But we representing the union were concerned that the EPPs might be in play, so we spoke to the lawyers for the Board of Ed and asked what their defense in the case was going to be. And they basically said that their defense was that they were the Board of Ed and they were the agency with the expertise, so they could do whatever they wanted. And we told them that, you know, as union lawyers, we could help them with this, that an hour's worth of research would tell them that while we supported that defense because we supported the EPPs, court was more likely to apply what's called a heightened scrutiny test. If you look at the project labor agreement cases, which I won't bore your readers with, we thought that's what the court might apply, which basically says you can't just say, you know, I'm the agency with the expertise, I can do whatever I want. You can make those arguments, but you have to actually support them with evidence. And the standard would be that the EPPs either save costs or avoid disruption of service. And the city has never claimed, and they're still not claiming, if you read their statements, that the EPPs actually increase costs. They put out all kinds of statements about the costs of the system having, you know, increased dramatically since 1979. But, you know, your viewers ought to, your listeners ought to know that 1979 there were less than 2,000 bus routes. Now there are close to 8,000 bus routes. So you can do the math, see where the cost increases are coming from. So we argued with the city lawyers that they should really prepare a record to demonstrate that they save costs, and an easier record to develop, that they avoid disruption of service. And as I indicated, you know, almost 50 years of the EPPs, the one time they took the EPPs out, there was a 14-week strike, and now another one is upon us. So that's easy enough to demonstrate. They weren't inclined to do that, which puzzled us. So we moved to intervene in the litigation, which we did. We then moved to get discovery of the Board of Ed's files, because we knew there had to be, you know, over 50 years, some piece of paper in the DOE's files that they could say they relied on to keep the EPPs in. They opposed that request, which was also puzzling, and that request was denied, so we had no access to their files in the litigation. Fortunately, just purely by chance, we found in a dusty file cabinet in the union's offices a copy of a comprehensive study that the City of New York commissioned in 1994 and 1995 by outside consultants, which did a comprehensive study of the industry, upon which the DOE then looked at it, relied on it, and kept the system in place. So we called the city and said, well, maybe you didn't know about this, but it's your own study. We happen to find it in our files, so maybe that's something you could rely on. City elected not to, and you know the result, which is that at the Court of Appeals, the Court of Appeals concluded with respect to the EPPs that the city did not meet its burden of proving that the EPPs in this pre-K bid either saved cost or avoided disruption of service. So as I've repeatedly said, including to people at the board, a third-year law student who knew nothing about this industry but had 2 years of law school could read that decision and say, well, look, one, it only applies to pre-K, where, although I don't think it's in the court decision, there's never been EPP, so there's no history. And two, the board simply did not meet its burden of proof. If they put evidence in, this EPP bid could well have been found legal. Now, the court was charitable and said the board did not meet its burden. I think our view is, I think, a little more accurate, which is that they elected not to do so. So now point number two, which sort of will deal with the credibility issue, while this litigation was going on, the city proposed legislation to deal with this problem by making the EPPs legal in the pre-K industry. We, of course, supported that legislation, which went through the Assembly, went through the Senate unanimously, and then, curiously, the city then wrote a letter to Governor Cuomo asking him to veto their own legislation, which prompted a New York Times article basically, you know, referring to the John Kerry, I was for it before, I was against it. The city, you know, asked the governor to veto its own legislation. So that seemed odd because, you know, while they were in court nominally supporting the EPPs without producing any evidence to support it, they then did a 180 on their own legislation in Albany. But curiously, in the letter that the mayor's political person wrote to the governor asking to veto, that letter itself never claims that the EPPs are legal. It simply says this legislation would require the DOE in all circumstances to put an EPP in these bids. We don't think the DOE's hand should be tied that way. So it certainly contemplated that there were situations where the DOE might keep the EPPs. It never said that the Court of Appeals decision made the EPPs illegal. The Court of Appeals decision simply said on the facts before it, on this particular bid, in this particular industry, that bid was not consistent with the requirements of the competitive bidding laws, and it would be certainly easy for the city to make a compliance with those requirements in any other EPP, be it in pre-K or any other industry. But the third point, because the city, you've probably heard the chancellor and the mayor in the last couple of days say, we can't negotiate this with the union. It's between the union and the companies. We have nothing to do with labor relations. That is completely false. And the city knows it's false because a year ago in November, when the mayor did the first of his now apparently regular hold a press conference on Friday to scare the parents about a pending school bus strike, press conferences, said and then did sue the union. He sent his in-house and expensive outside lawyers to the National Labor Relations Board, which is the agency with the expertise in this area, and filed charges against the union, saying the union had no right to threaten a strike. And I don't know whether the city anticipated this when they filed the charges, but we countered that not only did we have a dispute with the employers, who were not neutrals to this, but given the long history of the city's involvement in labor relations with the union, including, we found in the files, the city's own press releases trumpeting their involvement in solving past contract disputes with the union by sending deputy mayors to the bargaining table. We listed in our brief dozens of criteria under which the city really controlled many aspects of the labor relations with the employees. The labor board found in our favor and dismissed the case. The city appealed that decision to Washington. That was dismissed in a one-sentence dismissal letter. So when we met with Board of Ed officials last week and they took that position, we said, you have to be kidding. You can't plead ignorance on this one because you actually sued us and you lost that case. And we have a decision squarely on point. So So when the mayor and the chancellor say, which they said repeatedly yesterday, we have nothing to do with this, you have to work this out with the employers, that is completely untrue.
Local 1181 attorney Richard Gilberg. Now, we're joined by
Jimmy Hedge, executive board member and delegate of the Amalgamated Transportation Union Local 1181.
Forced onto the picket lines this morning.
Jimmy?
Right now I'm in Red Hook at a company called Safaro, where the workers have a picket line set up and none of the vehicles have rolled. Earlier this morning I was at Hoyt Bus Company in the Bronx. Picket lines were set up there and none of those buses rolled. And I was also at a company, Atlantic Express Hunts Point, and their picket lines had no buses rolling out of that yard either.
So they haven't brought in scabs, replacement workers, as they call them, yet?
No, they have not tried to bring anybody in yet.
Listen, I also want to ask, what would it take to end this strike? What are the issues there?
There is only one issue as far as ending the strike, and that's the employee protection provision. All we are asking for is our right to our jobs that we've had since 1965. We've had a provision in our contract that allows us, in the event that a company that we're working for either loses work, goes out of business, or even in an event where they gain additional work, they hire the senior people who have been laid off from other companies, and there's been a seamless transition from company to company, and the senior people with the experience and the safe driving records get to transport the children.
Jimmy, let me ask you this. What's the significance of this, which we haven't talked about yet, for our 150,000 children and their lives?
Yeah, the National Safety Council just about 2 months ago came out with their survey on the safest transportation systems in the country, and the school bus system in New York City was rated number one in the country. That wasn't an accident. The reason that we're rated number one is because the senior drivers who go through a series of training every year. They have to have hours of classroom time. There's a road test that they take. There are physical performances to show that they can do the job. They are trained how to teach and how to work with the handicapped children that we deal with. And as a result of all the training and experience, we have the safest workforce in the country. I find it very hard to understand how the mayor is constantly saying he does not believe that by hiring replacement people and bringing in people with no training, that we'll be able to train them and bring them up to the level of the people we have in on the job and in force right now. It doesn't seem reasonable.
And how are the parents handling this? What has been their response to this strike, which will be enormously inconvenient and problematic for them?
We've had a lot of support from the parents, which we really appreciate. They understand that it's their children's lives that we deal with. When they leave the house in the morning, we're the first ones they see, and when they get home, they're the last ones that they see before they get off the bus. Children were upset when they getting off the buses yesterday, knowing that the mayor was forcing us, out onto the picket lines. And the reason is very simple. Come the end of the year in June, with these contracts that are up for bid, the mayor doesn't want to allow the people to move from the companies that may lose work to the companies that get the work.
And let me ask you this. You know, the last strike years ago was a long one. Are there any negotiations now? Is there any effort whatsoever of Walcott, of the mayor, of the Department of Education to bargain in good faith?
They came and we had one meeting, from what I understand, with Chancellor Walcott. And the bargaining started with, well, we've made our decision and well, you know, what do you want to say? And Lisa says, well, listen, all we want to talk about is employee protection provision, which they were not interested in talking about. They're insisting that it's illegal. I believe our lawyer, Rick Gilbert, was just on with you.
Yes.
And has explained why we believe that employee protection provision is not illegal. It's really a case from a different industry within the school bus industry. And, you know, we're hoping that the mayor will come around and the chancellor will come around and at least talk to us and try and get something worked out.
And what can you recommend in terms of the parents, the students, in terms of ending this strike on equitable grounds?
Well, we've been asking people to call the mayor's office, to call the chancellor. If they can't get through on those lines, they can call 311 and ask for the chancellor and the mayor's office voice support for the drivers and the escorts who take care of your children. If you go to local 1181ATU.org, you can get a petition that we're signing that we're hoping to get a lot of people to come on board, sign our petition, that we can deliver them to the mayor. We have a number of parent groups that are very much supporting us, and hopefully that more groups get on board and know that we're really thinking about the best interests of their children.
And are you expecting that the mayor will try to effectively bring in scabs?
We're hoping not. We've been told that groups are being contacted. We know that the owners of the bus companies have put ads in all the papers looking for people to come in. As of right now, we haven't had any of them cross the picket lines that I've been at this morning. I've been at four different sites. And so far, nobody is getting across the picket line, and none of the vehicles in the garages that I've been at this morning have pulled out.
And, Jimmy, we should make clear, in the broader scheme of things, what does it mean to destroy the employee protection provisions in workers' contracts? What does this mean for the union and its very existence?
It seems like it's a concerted effort at union busting, trying to eliminate the union from the school busing industry. We've told that we were at the pre-bid conference when the Board of Education announced that they were going to have this bid. We handed out copies of our contract to all prospective bidders. We told them, if you bid, we're going to have a large workforce that's out of work. We would like you to hire our workers. This is our contract. We've also notified them that we will be organizing you and we will be enforcing our contract on you. So when you bid, you should bid accordingly so that you know you're going to end up with our workers and hopefully we can get a lot of people in. They will not be obligated to hire our workers if the employee protection provision is out, which means they're probably going to try and grab low-paid, inexperienced people that they want to do the work so that they can make a larger profit margin.
Low bidding. Well, they could put the EPPs in the bids of the city. They don't have to even bid the contracts at all. They could put requests for proposals for bus services out in which the mayor could include the EPPs. There's all kind of options for the city to end the strike on fair and reasonable grounds. And you know what? You should bring some hot chocolate and coffee down to our brothers and sisters who are on the picket lines in this very critical strike, because this is, as well, about union busting, which is disgusting. Jimmy, a final message?
Yes, we'd like everybody to stay strong out there and listening. We would appreciate it if you called the mayor's office, called the chancellor's office, call 311 and express your support for the drivers and the escorts that care for your children.
And remember, the only issue here is keeping workers who are working protected and in their jobs, and no allowing of lowballing because of companies' profits, which will bring on new people without experience who would jeopardize the union and jeopardize the safety of our children.
You can call the mayor's office, you can call the chancellor's office, you can call 311 and ask to be connected to those offices, and you can go on to local 1181 ATU, and you can sign our petition to get the EPP put back in our contracts and to get this strike over with, because that's all we're asking for. We're not asking for any other benefits or anything. We just, all we want is the job protection. That's it. There was no option. There was no option. They're trying to replace the existing workforce with cheaper labor, and that's the only reason that we were forced into walking out. The EPP has kept employee protection provision, has kept labor peace in the school busing industry, except for the strike in 1979, since 1965. When they tried to remove it in 79, there was a 13-and-a-half-week, almost 14-week strike. And now that they're trying to remove it again, we're back on the picket line. And hopefully the mayor will come and negotiate with us, and we can get this strike over. Thank you very much.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.